older because I have this hair on my face, but I'm only 21, so it's really great. I've been doing this for about 2.5 years with all of these guys right out of high school, started traveling the world, preaching the gospel, visiting the nations, praying for the nations, just seeing the nations get touched. And so my life has changed significantly since I was in high school. And I'm at the prayer house. I am the youth pastor. So I noticed we have a lot of youth in the back there. Who, if you are under 18, can you please put up your hand? Oh, I would never have guessed. Awesome. So you guys are like, you guys are my normal crew. I usually hang out with you guys. Like everyone else here in the middle section, you guys are new to me. You guys are a little bit new to me. So I like you guys. I know how to deal with you guys. So this is my work in progress. So you guys will get a little piece of paper at the end. You can rate me. You can put a little comment. I'm just kidding. That would be funny though. So I manage our youth department at the prayer house. Oh, we just started up about a year ago. We have about 20 kids that attend regularly. We've seen about 10 new kids come to the Lord, which was amazing. I was so excited when we did it the first 2 days. We preached the gospel both times, and we saw a bunch of kids come to the Lord for the first time, which just broke my heart to see that generation get moved. So that's what I do full-time, 40 hours a week. Absolutely love to do it. It's one of my favorite things in all the world is getting to minister to youth above all other things. So tonight, I'm not just speaking to youth, I'm speaking to everyone about intimacy with God. That is what has been on my heart for the last few months even. I was told before Christmas that I was going to be speaking for you guys, and I was asking God, what do you have for this place? Like, I have so many ideas, and I could talk about so many different things, but God, what do you want me to share about? You know what this church needs to hear. You know what would encourage them, what would strengthen them, what would draw them closer to you, what would point them to you. And I kept going back to this intimacy with God, knowing God and a personal relationship. I just couldn't shake it. So I started prepping. And the first place that God took me to, I said, God, what do you want me to start with? Because when you start these messages, the start of your message is so significant sometimes. I'm either losing you guys or I'm grabbing you guys. So I want to grab you. That's my goal. So I want you to get to know me a little bit. So I'm going to tell you a story about me in high school when I was a different person, when I didn't really know God, but I got to experience God in a fresh way. And so when I was in high school, I think I was in like grade 10 or something. I was young. I couldn't drive anywhere. And my parents and my family had left for the weekend. And since I couldn't drive, I was home alone. I was like, ooh, yeah, this is going to be good. I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to eat junk food. This is going to be fun. So I was stranded at home for a solid 3 days, not knowing what to do. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to play video games. I'm just going to do what I want, watch movies. It'll be a blast. It's like a teenager's dream come true. No parents, a house to themselves. So I go into the weekend like full of zeal for just wasting it away. And I get there and out of nowhere, like I'm not even really following the Lord at this point. I get there and all of a sudden, like the atmosphere changes. And I'm like, oh. My heart changes, and I don't want to play video games. I don't want to watch movies. I did not know what was going on. I didn't know it was God at first. I was so confused. And I remember sitting there and being like, I have no plans this weekend. What am I going to do? It was like I had a reset. And this is the sad part of the story, but I looked to my left off my bed, and I saw my little cup holder, my coaster, and it was actually my Bible, which was bad. I had been so turned off to the Lord that I actually was using my Bible as a coaster for a cup. And there was a little ring on it and everything, and I looked at it, and I thought, oh my goodness, my Bible's a coaster. And it, for some reason, it hit me, and I was like, when's the last time I opened that thing? I don't even know. I don't even know what it says in there. And I had this intense pull in me to open it, not knowing what was in there. And so I opened it, and I opened it to the wrong spot at first. I opened it to the Old Testament, and I was like, yep, this is why I don't read it. I was like, maybe it should stay a coaster. Because I was young. I wanted to play video games. I wanted to hang out with my friends. And so I thought, oh, wait, there's this place called the New Testament. I think that's what I'm supposed to read. That's what I think they told me at church. So I go to the New Testament, and I just flip to a random page. And I start going through it, and I end up reading a passage about Jesus saying, be baptized. Get baptized and be saved. And I read it, and in the first time of my life, I felt something in my heart say, can you do that for me? And I was like, what? And I felt like God started to say to me, I want you to get baptized. I want you to start to get to know me. I want you to start to get intimate with me. And my heart was just touched on the very start of this weekend. And then the whole weekend turned into me reading my Bible and praying. And I had no clue what I was doing. I was not trained. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't get a session like Shayla gave. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I felt the presence of God. And I was experiencing the Word of God together. That is actually what transformed me. And that actually brought me into a moment of intimacy with God, which actually changed the course of my life. From that point in my life, I actually switched directions. And I started going for things of the Lord. And I started going to youth group, of all places. And I started talking with my friends about being a Christian and how can I do it. And experience led to experience led to experience to me giving my heart fully there. Wow, that's a good one. We're recording this, right? Oh my gosh. We can put that on replay day after day and that will be your morning bread. My heart, not anything down there. So you guys are starting to see the youth pastor in me, right? I hope you're feeling this. I didn't purposely do that. So my heart started to change, actually, and I did a shift from the things that I wanted to do to the what do you want to do, Lord? And I made a transition from what do I want to how can I be intimate with God? How can I know you, God? Because I just tasted something, and I just saw that you were good. I don't know what it is, but I want more of it. So that is actually where I started. That is actually where I started getting intimate with God. Had nothing to do with farts whatsoever. So I looked back at that experience and I said, what was the ingredients that I changed my life? And I experienced intimacy with the Lord. And the first thing I saw was the presence of God. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it whatsoever. But the presence of God showed up in my house. Unknown to me at the time, I didn't recognize it. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't even know that it was God at all. So the presence of God was the first key ingredient. So I looked up, what is the presence of God? I got a little Bible software, and I can go over words with my little cursor, and it will tell me about the specific word. So I don't have to go into Google and Google it. So I go over this word, presence, and I'm sort of nerdy. I like to look at what is the Hebrew? What is the Greek? How do you say it? What is the context it was used in? So I looked at the word presence, and in Hebrew, it actually translates to face. So you can look at it like the presence of God as the face of God. So when you're experiencing the presence of God, you're seeing the face of God. Many of us want to see the face of God, and in that old Hebrew context, that's actually what they were talking about when they experienced that presence. That, to them, was the face. And so I'm thinking, well, why is the face important? We are hardwired to recognize faces. Our eyes go right to faces. I don't think anyone's looking at my knees when I'm talking. Nothing interesting going down there. I don't got the rips in the knees. But we are actually hardwired to connect with someone's face, to look at their face. When you think of your best friend, when you think of your spouse, you think of their face. You don't think of the back of their head. Sometimes you have that moment where you see the back of someone's head and you're like, I think that's that person. And then they turn around and you're like, no, it's not them. Their faces, that's not their face. So we're hardwired to recognize someone's face wherever they are. And that's the first thing that goes to us. Do we recognize God's face when it shows up? Do we recognize God's presence when it shows up? That's what I was challenged with that moment I had. I didn't recognize it. I wasn't familiar with God. I wasn't familiar with the way he spoke to me. I wasn't familiar with the way I encountered him. And so I had to figure that out for myself. God, how do I get to know you more? Because that's what my heart's desire is. That is what is the longing in my heart. So we look at the very start of the Bible. I want to go right to the beginning. Adam and Eve. We were created. We were designed in the presence of God. That's where we were built. That's where the breath of life came, was in the presence of God. That is our original creation. We were designed to be amidst the presence of God. And we were designed to have intimacy with God. Like, Adam and God had so much intimacy. I love this. God creates all these creatures. And then he goes to his creation and he says, I want you to name it. Instead of God naming it, the creator naming it. Whenever you create something and you make something, you want to be the one to name it. But him and Adam actually had so much intimacy. He was like, hey, I want you to name this creation. I trust you with it. And that's one of the things with intimacy is God learns to trust you. You learn to trust God. And trusting God is a hard thing to do for a lot of people. So intimacy actually strengthens that trust significantly. So what is intimacy? I did the classic thing. Instead of pulling out a dictionary, because nobody does that anymore, it seems like, unless you're in school, and I'm not in school, so I just go to Google. I just go on my phone. And I look up intimacy, and this is what the big Google tells me it is. It's a close, familiar, affectionate, or loving personal relationship with another person or group. It's connection with someone apart from yourself. So, with this definition in mind, I want you to take a moment right now and look at your relationship with God. Is it close? Is it familiar? Is it loving? Is it personal? It's hard to sometimes look at that. Sometimes it's safer to actually be distant from God, to separate yourself so you don't have to worry about that, because he's a real person. He's got real emotions. God is an emotional God, and he made us even emotional as well, and he wants to actually connect in an intimate way. Do we have that closeness? Do we have that familiarity with his face, with his presence? So it's not easy having intimacy with an invisible God that you can't see, you can't taste, you can't touch, you can't hear physically. Our world is all about the senses. It's all about matter. I know that this is here and it's real because I can touch it. I could taste it. I'm not going to. I can see it. I can smell it. We can observe and we can interact with this right here, right now. But God is not always that easy that I could just grab him and give him a hug, or he could just come down and pat me on the back. As much as that would be great, that's just not how it is. So I'm not saying intimacy with God is easy in any way. It is a battle for a lot of people. And it's a battle of faith. That is what it significantly comes down to, is faith. Because you have to believe, even though you can't see it. And so that's the first place we're going to look at is God really here? I want to knock that one right out of the park right now. Is God in the midst of us right now? So I have some verses. We don't need to put them up. They're just super short. Zephaniah 3:17, we talked about it earlier today. Just the very first part of it. It just says, the Lord your God is in your midst. The word is truth, so we can take that to the bank and believe it. If the Lord is saying, I'm in your midst, he's in our midst. The next thing about believing that God is here is it's actually his name. You guys know the name Emmanuel? You guys know what it means? God with us. So that is Isaiah 7:14. It says, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. If God's name is God with us, we should believe that God is with us. That makes logical sense. So intimacy with God is hinged on your faith actually believing that he's here. First of all, because if you do not believe that God is here and that God is with you, how can you be intimate with that person? You got to spend time. You have to cultivate relationship. You have to interact. David understood this. I love this verse. It's Psalms 139, 7 to 10. Do you want to bring that one up? Perfect. So where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. David understood without a shadow of a doubt that no matter where he went, whether it was heaven or whether it was hell, the presence of God would be there. He would not be able to escape it. Can we have that heart? I want that heart. I battle for that. It's so easy to put God on the sidelines and forget about him. But can we get to the point where we actually believe without a doubt, without anything in front of us, any obstacle, that he is here with us right now? That is the challenge. And that takes a lot of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what is faith exactly? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we need to hear the word of God to actually get that faith. We need to be in the word to get that faith. And God has so many promises, guys. If you even just start to simply read the Bible out loud and declare the promises, and even the person of God, he always talks about, this is who I am. My kindness is going to bring you to repentance. My goodness, I have so much goodness. I have plans for you. If you actually start to believe that stuff and you start to trust God, you're actually going to start to develop intimacy with him. It all comes down to trusting him at the core and believing that no matter what, no matter what circumstances in front of you, he's actually with you. That it's the most simple thing ever, but it's so true and it's so often missed. Is God really here? That's the question you ask yourself when you're in the darkest moment of the worst day, getting the worst news. Your eyes go up and your fist goes up most of the time. And you say, God, where are you? Are you really here? And that's the reality of it all, because we're human. But faith is believing even though you don't see it, even though you don't feel it, even though you don't even know if you know if you know if you know. You just believe. It gets surpassed completely. That's what we want. Okay, how do we host the presence of God? This one is super, super simple. I'm going to hit it really quick. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How do we experience the presence of God? How do we get to that place? It has to be through Jesus. And it says that Jesus is the Word, so we have to go through the Word. We have to spend time in the Word. We have to season every step we have with the Word. The way we talk needs to be rooted in the Word. We can either invite the presence of God into our lives by the way we talk, by the way we act, or we can repel it, completely repel it by our lifestyle, by the things we say, by the interactions and the experiences that we set before us. We either are going to host his presence or we're going to repel it. And so we want to be getting into the Word. We want to be stewing in that. We want to be totally stirring up our spirits daily. God, what are you saying in the Word? What is the truth saying today for me? And you start to see, oh, you're starting to converse with God, maybe. You're starting to experience the Word a little bit. You're starting to develop a little bit of intimacy. You're going to have this little bubbling thing. Here, I'll make sure you guys see. You see this little bubbling thing starts happening. You're going to start to spring up a well is what's going to happen when you start spending time in the Word, filling yourself. And what happens when something gets full, guys? And if it keeps getting filled, what happens to it? It usually overflows. That is what we want. I don't want you guys to be getting drips in your cup and trying to get whatever you can out of those little drips. I want you guys to be overflowing, uncontainable, free to pour out wherever needs pouring, to water whatever seed needs watering, to fill every little thirst you've got. That's... Do you ever get thirsty? Oh, I don't know if he can understand me. I'm not quite there yet. Remember, I'm a youth pastor. I'm a youth pastor, guys. Okay. So spending time with the Lord, Jesus gives us a really simple way to do it. Matthew 6:6. He says, when you go and when you pray, go into your room, shut your door and pray to the Father who's in the secret, and your Father's in the secret will reward you openly. What you want to do, guys, in developing intimacy with God, you got to go into your room and close the door. What is God saying? What is Jesus saying right there? He's saying, I need you to remove the distractions in front of you because you will get caught up in what's happening directly in front of you with the situation, the person, the TV, the food. Remove yourself from that. Put yourself where it's just you and come to me in prayer. Come to me and talk to me because he wants your full attention. He's a jealous God and he wants your full attention. He is delighted in hearing your guys' voice. Even you singers out there, God loves your singing voice. When you sing, he rejoices. And his heart is even rended. It's totally moved. You can do that to him with your voice. We forget that. Because we get so much rejection by this world that sometimes we forget that God loves us. And even more than that, God likes us. We forget that a lot of the time. God likes who we are. You can straighten your tie and you do a little bit of that. God likes you. Don't forget that. So you got to make time for him. Make time for God. That is a really key point in having intimacy with him. You got to cultivate. If you want to develop a friendship with someone, you spend time with that person. You talk to that person. You engage with that person. God's not any different. You spend time with that person. You engage that person. You look at their face. You look at the presence that God is. Remove your distractions, phones, put them away, put them on silent. Get your Bible out. Begin to look at that Bible, look at that word. Pray it pray and read the Bible and pray read it. We've been talking all about prayer these last few days if you were here. What I want you to do is take that Bible and just like we took the apostolic prayers and we prayed them out, you can do that with any verse in the Bible. It doesn't have to be an apostolic prayer. If you're reading a verse and you don't understand it, pray, ask God, would you reveal this to me? Would you show yourself to me? Would you begin to express yourself to me? I want to know you more. And you know what God's going to do? Anything we ask in prayer, he's going to send that to us. And if we're asking about God to show us God, he's going to show you. But you got to be ready. You got to recognize his face when it comes. And then the part where we all forget, we need to listen and receive actually from God. We can talk a lot. Some people like to talk. I'm not the biggest talker. I don't talk a crazy ton. I don't share it all the time. I like to listen, so I'm good. But a lot of us like to talk. We like to rifle off our issues with God, and then we're done. And then we walk away and it's like, we're good. But sometimes we have to actually take a moment and even ask God, what are you saying to me right now? What is your perspective on my situation? Say you just got fired. God, what is your heart for me right now? Because God knows exactly what you need. And if you ask him to reveal that to you, he's going to send that to you. It could be anything. It could be peace. Your heart could be a still small voice. It talks about the Lord being a still small voice. He's not in the massive earthquake, in the rushing wind. He's in the still small voice. So once we listen and receive, we're going to actually begin to open up the door for the Lord to come and move in our hearts. And I want to talk to you guys about first love right now. So when we all first got saved, most of us probably had this fire inside or this passion. Like you were unstoppable. Your walk with the Lord was never going to end. You were ready to go. You were going to go through any little mountain, any sea that was in your way. You were going to go right through it. And you had this first love, this fiery passion that you couldn't contain. And then over the years, you go through 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, and that flame gets smaller and smaller. And you start to lose that passion maybe. And we're called to go back to our first love. When you read Revelation, he talks to the church about, hey, go back to your first love. Do the things you did at first. A lot of you guys are probably married. I'm not married. But when you were first pursuing as the man, I'm talking to the men, when you were first pursuing, you had that zeal. You had that boost to go the extra mile to impress her, right? You would do that. And women, you just loved it and you love the attention. You love the, oh my gosh, he said I'm beautiful. Ooh. You just enjoyed it. And you had this fire between you guys. You had this intimacy. You had this chemistry. And that was that first love where it was butterflies and head over heels and rainbows everywhere. And then you get married, and I'm not married, but sometimes you get 10 years down the road, and you look back, and you're like, oh, man, I didn't. When was the last time I got that girl flowers? When was the last time I got that girl chocolates? And the girl's like, she's on the same boat. She's like, man, has he called me beautiful in the last year? And you realize, oh, man, I'm losing my first love. That's what Jesus is talking to about his church. He's saying, I want you guys to keep that first love. Go back to the things you did at first. And that's what I believe God is even calling us to. I had a moment at our internship. I was on staff. I wasn't a student. And we had a guy named Brian up there speaking. And he was talking about a similar thing like this. He was talking about in ministry, you can get burnt out really quick. And on that particular day, I was very emotional. I was feeling burnt out. So he calls everyone to the front, all the students, and a few of the staff went up. I was one of those staff. And I'm sitting there, and God starts to weigh on me, where's your first love? That very thing I was just talking about. And I realize that wasn't how it used to be for me. Even though I did all this stuff, I did my prayer, I did my reading, my heart wasn't into it like it could have been. Even though I did the duties, I did the steps, and I did the things that the Bible said to do, my heart was not connected to his heart. I had a pastor one time say, people are becoming lovers of the work of the Lord rather than lovers of the Lord of the work. And that hit me so hard because I realized that was me. I was like, I reflected and I was like, oh man, that's me. I'm loving the work of the Lord before the Lord of the work. I have my priorities mixed up. I'm putting my ministry before my personal relationship with God. So I'm in this moment. I'm standing up there just waiting for this guy to come and pray for me because I'm like, man, if he prays for me, everything will be better. I'll just take whatever he says, and he'll just fix it all. I was like, God, just give him the words to say and make it all better. So he comes up to me, and he's like, what do you want prayer for? And I was like, oh, I'm just feeling burnt out, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he starts talking to me. He's like, you got to go. You got to find your love for the Lord, and you got to look at that right now. And he walks away from me. I'm like, that didn't help at all. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, man, what did I do with that? Okay, I'll do what he said. I'll look at my heart and my love for the Lord. That's the first commandment. Love the Lord your God. And with everything, with all of it. And I reflect. And my heart breaks. Because I'm not following that commandment as near good as I could have. That commandment was being put secondary to preaching the gospel to people. To raising up a generation of youth. I was starting to sacrifice my own personal relationship for the work of the Lord, for the things that I could do for him because I thought it made him love me more. I had a foundation on sand right there, I realized. Because I was determining my relationship off the things that I did, not who I was. So if I did the things and if I prayed and if I read my Bible, and if I gave the youth a good message and one of them got touched, I was loved by God. But that is not how it works whatsoever. Not how it works, not even close. And in that moment, God started showing me, you need to go back to the things you did at first, not because you have to do them, but because you just loved me. When you didn't know anything, when you were in kindergarten Christianity, and you're learning your ABCs about me, Parker. What did you do? Look at that and do it again. Because I do not love you, Parker, because of the things you do for me. I love you because you're you. I love you because you're my son. And that was what broke my heart. I had strayed away from that. My relationship went from work in the fields to then, oh my goodness, Lord, I just need to be with you. I need to spend time with my Creator who loves me a lot more than I love him right now. And I need to enjoy him. I need to spend time with him. I need to learn what that face really is. Because I was starting to not recognize the face of God, the presence of God again. And I couldn't have that. I couldn't let that go down in my books. I was experiencing the Father's heart in that moment. Okay, can you put up the verse, Romans 8, 14 to 17? So this is a really, really good verse. I love it. This is what God actually started leading me to. Time and time again, all throughout the Bible, verses about being his son, about being a child of God. So I'm just going to read it out for you guys. For as many are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are children, we are heirs and heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Indeed, we share the suffering in order that we may share in his glory. It starts off by saying, for as many of us are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. It was actually our connection to his Spirit that brought us into sonship, that brought us into becoming a son of God, experiencing his presence, experiencing his life, seeing his face. That is what brought me into being a son. Not someone up here on a microphone telling me you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God, you're a child of God, you're free from bondage. You can live free. It wasn't that. It was me looking at the word, looking at what God said, and him revealing to me that I'm a son. Not what I did, not what I deserve. I'm a son. So the spirit of adoption, I want to touch on this for a second. So intimacy with God, we are all orphans at one point, and it's his saying that I'm not going to leave any orphans out. I'm coming for you all. You are going to be my children. And that's John 14, 18, if you're wondering. But my family, when I was young, my parents divorced when I was a teenager, and then they both got remarried. And I had a stepfather now. Not my real father, and it was weird. It was different. I wasn't close with my real father once my parents divorced. We sort of went our separate ways. But I have this new stepfather, and it was really hard to connect with him. I couldn't share intimacy with him because he didn't know me. He's new to my life. Like, I'm 16 years old. He hasn't been here from me growing up. He doesn't know my experiences, and I don't know who he is, really. I'm not going to share with him. And so for the first few years, it was just sort of like you walk by in the house and you're just like, hey, and it's done. It's pretty weird, right, guys? We live in the same house and we're going on trips together. And I didn't know much about him. He didn't know much about me. We didn't have a relationship. But we started spending time and time and time together. And one day, I remember we were changing the tires on my car or something like that. Just something so simple. And he looks at me a few years ago and he says, you know what? You're a son to me. Out of nowhere. Oh, man, what did that feel like? Oh, I can't even tell you. I didn't do anything. In fact, he was helping me. He was changing my tires and we're doing an oil change and I'm trying to just learn. And out of nowhere, he's just like, you're a son. And I just dropped to the ground. And I just looked at him. And I just knew that in that moment he adopted me. He had that spirit of adoption right there over me. Where if whatever I did, wherever I was in my life, he didn't care. You're my son. And I saw the Father's heart in that moment through him. And we, you know what? Me and my stepdad, we have intimacy now. He reached out for no reason and accepted me in when I didn't deserve it. And that's what God does for each and every one of you. And it was such a blessing to see through a stepfather, especially the Father's heart. And that's what God offers to each and every single one of us. Whatever you're doing, wherever place you are in your life, he has his hand outstretched to you guys. Just waiting. You're my child. and I want you a part of my life. I want intimacy with you. That is what I feel like God has put on my heart for you, this whole church. That your personal relationship with God would not be defined on the things that you do for him, but it would be out of time spent with him. Out of word revealed to you through the Bible, that you would begin to see his heart. And you don't even take my word for it. Please don't. You challenge anything I have. Go and read the Bible yourself. Take the things that I said and weigh them out. Maybe you don't believe in a personal relationship with God, and you believe that you're just going to come on a Sunday and spend your time and then it's done. I used to live like that. I'm telling you, overflowing, and God amidst you, because he is here, he is God with us, is so much greater. Interwoven together, doing life, because you know what? We don't really know what we're doing. And it says that he's a lamp unto our feet, and we need that. If you guys ever been in a dark room, and you're stepping around, and you got kids, and there's little toys, and you know, like, there's that Lego piece right there. You need that lamp, or you're going to step on it and you're going to be on the ground with a little tear rolling down your cheek. We need that lamp into our feet. We need that guidance. It's actually freedom. It's not a dictatorship whatsoever. Having God help guide us and walk with us is freedom, actually. And if we can trust him in that and we can develop that intimacy with him, we're actually able to go so much farther than we could ever imagine, because he has plans so much greater for each and every one of you. You can't even comprehend. So I just want to even break down that box of what is Christian life. I want to break down that mindset of I'm just going to show up on Sunday. I'm going to give my money. I'm going to say my prayer. I'm going to do a little bob in worship. I want you to break that mindset and break down those walls and invite God into every area of your life. Janelle, if you want to get up on the piano, we're going to wrap up here soon. So what I'm talking about with this spirit of adoption and being children of God is becoming who we were created to be, us getting our identity revealed to us. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says, "For we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face." And I tell you guys, that's what happens. When you start to behold God, you start to become what you behold. Whatever you behold, you're going to become. Whatever you behold is what you're going to become. So when you start gazing upon God, when you start seeking out his face, seeking out his presence, he's going to actually transform you inside. Where you would see dimly, in that mirror, you're going to start to see face to face. You're going to start to see details. You're going to start to see who you really are. When you become intimate with God, when you begin to seek him, you will find your purpose. You will find your calling. You will get your desires, the deepest desires of your heart that you don't even know they're there yet. Those will be revealed to you. I want to talk to the youth for a second. All you guys can listen too. But you youth at the back, if you can grab a hold of this, you can change your generation. I'm not a youth pastor because it was just the only opening. I actually took that place because I thought if the generation can be changed, the whole lineage can be changed. A nation can be changed. And if a nation can be changed, the world can be changed. You guys may think it doesn't really matter. You guys may think that it's insignificant, that God is not worth it. It's empty space, it's thin air. But it's not. A lot of you guys are going to come to a point in your life pretty quick where you graduate. And where does that leave you? What is your purpose? What is your destiny? Where are you supposed to go? I can actually tell you, each and every single one of you, I know exactly where you're going and what your calling is, what your purpose is. and is to love God and be loved by God. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all else will be added unto you." Grab hold of that, youth. If you will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all else is going to be added unto you, you're going to be good. You're going to be covered. Love God and be loved by God. And all of you guys take that. But my heart has a burning for the youth, that they would turn to the Lord, that they would realize that life with God is actually fun. It's entertaining, it's engaging, it's transforming, it's uplifting, it's renewing. If you've got feeble knees, if you've got weak knees, God wants to strengthen you tonight. If you've got a path set before you that you don't know if you want to go, but you feel like this is what God has for you, I want to encourage you guys to go on that path tonight. It's so much safer to have God on the sidelines and marginalized than let him in. Because sometimes he says to do stuff that is really hard. That seems like a waste of time, talking to an invisible God. It's not a waste of time. I think that there's people in this room tonight, and why God is wanting me to share about intimacy. First of all, if you have never given your life to Jesus, if you've never completely given your heart over to the Lord, tonight has to be that night for you. Once you go there, once you taste and see that he is good, you will never go back, and you'll be so thankful. Second person that I felt like I'm supposed to talk to tonight is the people who need to recommit. They need to re-sign up for the things that God has for them. It's easy to get lukewarm. It's easy to get stagnant. We've all been there, and you know what? It happens without you knowing it. But once you realize you're there, you've got two choices. You can stay, or you can turn back to the Lord. And I believe that tonight, even I'm speaking to myself, guys. It's time to turn back to the Lord, to the things that he has for us, to the time that we need to spend with him. Not because God needs anything, but because God wants to do something in us. I don't take this lightly whatsoever. I believe God wants to do a movement here, and he wants to renew hearts. That God wants to strengthen hearts, that he wants to bring your heart alive again if your heart has felt hard. If your mind has felt cloudy, he wants to bring clarity to it. It just starts with a yes, even if you don't know what it looks like or what it means. Ultimately, tonight, I want to point you guys to Jesus. I don't want you looking up at me. This time we're going to go into right now is about the Father on the throne and Jesus at the right hand and the Holy Spirit within you guys right now. It's not about me. It's not about our team. We don't come to these mobile teams to look any much better Christians than you guys. We come here because we know God has something so special to be released tonight. And we want to help bring it forth. We want to encourage you guys to take hold of what is in front of you. If you guys want to come up to the front, we want to open up the altar. You guys can come if you want to or not. We want to open up the altar if you guys want prayer. If you feel stagnant, if you haven't given your life to the Lord, first of all, and you want to make that commitment today that I want Jesus to be my Lord, I want a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. You come up to one of these people, and if fear says don't do it, you smack that fear in the face and you say, no, I'm going up there. You just have to do it. If you want to recommit your life and you want to recommit your heart, you can come up as well. All of this can be done at your seats, guys. It's personal. Nothing that they can bring is going to change anything between you and God. It is ultimately comes down to your heart. God sees the heart. We can't see it. And we want to pray for anything else you guys are going through. Any situations, any struggles, family problems, financial problems, whatever is on your heart, whatever is burdening you and weighing you down. Prayer is so significant. And where two or more are gathered, His presence is there. I want you guys, of all things right now, is even just to see God's face. To recognize that face. And to enjoy it. To let it fill you, to let it fill this place. So I'm going to pray. If you want to come to the front, come to the front. We're going to be here to pray. If you want to sit at your seat and talk with the Lord, do that. I want you guys to reflect in this time. God, where is my heart with you? Where is our intimacy? And if it's not there, how do I get it? So, Father, we come before you with boldness to the throne of God. We ask that your presence would fill this place right now. That your spirit would flood in this room. Lord, we speak to the chains on people's lives right now and we say, be broken. We speak to the fear in the hearts of people right now and we say, go. We ask that your love and your Father heart would begin to be revealed to your children. That they would know that it is nothing that they do, but you simply love them unconditionally, unbreakably. Nothing can stand in the way, God, of your love with your children. Show your face to us tonight, Lord, that we would know you. Reignite our hearts, God, with fire and with passion. Fill the depths of our hearts tonight, God. You are our Father. We are your children. And we come before you and we say yes to all the things that you have for us, every plan that you're calling us to. Every risk that you're wanting us to take. We lay it all down at the foot of the cross right now. And we say, come and have your way. Come and have your way in this place. Give us faith to believe, God. We want to be your lovers. We want to share intimacy with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So yeah, Janelle, you just play and you just sing whatever you're feeling for the room. And if you guys are feeling a stirring or a tug on your heart, fix your eyes on God and ask Him, what do I need to do? God, what do you have for me? And we're going to be here at the front. If you guys want prayer, we would love to partner with Him, whatever you're interceding for in your heart. And we're going to believe with you that it's going to come to pass. So take this time and reflect. Where are you with God?
And pull me a little closer. Take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. Oh, Lord. 'Cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. So pull me a little closer. Take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. Cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. Ooh, oh, oh, hey. Ooh, oh, oh. Thank you, Lord, sing it out. So pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. Cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. Oh, 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 your nearness is our good. Your nearness is our good, Lord. You are as close as conversation. You are so close to me. You are as near as turned attention. You are so near to me. You're so near to us, Lord. You're so near to us, Lord. Ooh. We're coming back to our first love. We're coming back to our first love. We're coming back to our first love again.